Okay, good morning. We are on Daf Kuf Chav Dalet. Actually, we're on Daf Kuf Chav Gimel Amud Beis, but today's Daf is Daf Kuf Chav Dalet 124. We eased yesterday into the 17th Perek of Shabbos. The 17th Perek of Shabbos marks a change in discussion. We've been talking about the Malachas of Shabbos for some time now, but now we discuss the Malacha, not the Malacha, I'm sorry, the Yisr of Moksa. One's not allowed to move things on Shabbos. As I quoted yesterday, the Rambam went on to explain. The Chachamim generally were concerned that Shabbos needs to be a day that's different than the rest of the week. And for a lot of us, Shabbos sometimes doesn't look much different. So the Chachamim made a gzera of Moksa. And Moksa basically says that there's something that cannot be, that does not have any particular use for Shabbos, so you can't move it. You can't pick it up, you can't move it. Meaning it's prohibited. It's prohibited to make any use out of it. So why the Chachamim make a gzer of Moksa? So number one, as I just quoted, the Rambam. The Rambam says basically, we want Shabbos to look differently than the rest of the week. We're going to see today, the Gemara is going to state pretty clearly over the course of today's daf, another consideration in terms of why the Chachamim make Moksa is perhaps for them because of the Malach of Otsah. What may happen is I may pick up an item on Shabbos, one that does not have any particular use, and I may carry it outside, and so therefore that's another reason why the Chachamim made the Gzera of Moksa. Whatever the case is, there's a Gzera called Moksa. Yesterday we introduced ourselves to some very basic concepts regarding Moksa, and yesterday we talked about the Kli and the Das Osehem. Both the utensil, the chest, and the doors of the chest, as long as all of it's prepared, you're allowed to use it. And then the Mishnah went on yesterday to discuss, what about things that are not normally used for Heter, but things that are normally used for Isser? A Kli Shemalachto Le'Isser. So the Mishnah yesterday, in the beginning of the Perek, gave a number of examples where you're allowed to use it. So take a hammer, for example, and pick up a hammer in order to crack a nut. So the Mishnah says that's fine. That's no problem whatsoever. That you're allowed to do. So that's what's called a kli shemalachto le'isser. A kli that's general purpose is for Isser and Shabbos. Obviously, building is an Isser. A kli shemalachto le'isser, but letzorach gufo. But if I need it for something which is permitted on Shabbos, so then you're allowed to use it. And the Mishnah gave a number of examples of what else it can be, other kli shemalachto le'isser. Then we went through another Mishnah yesterday on Kuf Chav Gimel Amud Beis, the Kanish Al Zaysim, the stick that's used for the olives, where the Mishnah once again said that you're allowed to move it on Shabbos. It's permissible to be used on Shabbos. Again, let's start Gufo for permissible uses. And now we get up to our Mishnah. We're on the Mishnah on Kuf Chav Gimel Amud Beis, the second Mishnah on the Amud. It's about a third of the way down. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Kol HaKelim Nitalim. You're allowed to move all Kelim. Meaning a very flat statement, a very broad statement. You're allowed to move all kelim chutz min amasar gadol the yaseh shel machresh, with two exceptions. One exception is the very large saw, the masar hagadol, and the yaseh shel machresh, and the plow. Saw, plow, what are these things? So they're tools, obviously. But they're very large tools. And if you take a look at Rashi, masar hagadol, megera gadol shasu liktos karos, right? So the saw that we're talking about is one that cuts beams. Okay, so it's a very large saw. Yalsa Shamachresha, the next Rashi in the Mishnah, who kli gadol asui kesakin shabo osin chrit shel telem hame'aneh. It's used to plow the ground. Dahanach, and Rashi then goes on to write, Dahanach kapid alayhu umiyach lehem makom delo chazul amalachas acheres. People are very particular about these instruments. These instruments, people are makpid, says Rashi. And because they're makpid, so therefore they have very special places, meaning I don't just simply lay them around. I store them in special places, and I use them for no other malacha. So we're going to now, we talked about this category yesterday, but we're going to reiterate again today. We're going to give this a new category. This new category we're going to call a kli, moksa machmas chisaron kis. Meaning it's very valuable to its owner. In other words, value over here does not mean that it's very expensive, although it could mean that. Valuable over here means that the owner of this item will not use it for anything else. It's only for its specific purpose. And when something is only used for its specific purpose, so you cannot move it on Shabbos under any circumstance. Now let's start Kufo, now let's start Makomo, and it goes without saying, although you haven't seen this terminology yet, not Mechama Letzel, not from the sun to the shade. In other words, under no circumstances are you allowed to move Muksa Machmas Chisaron Kis. Okay? And that's what the Mishnah is essentially telling us, that any kli, which presumably would mean kli, which is malach talaser, or kli shemalach talaser, any kli you're allowed to move. But if it is a kli, which is moksa machmas, kli sar and kis, it has tremendous value, so you're not allowed to move it at all. Amar Rabbi Gamliel, the Gemara begins, hay uchla dekatsri kiyasu shemach resha danya. The Gemara is going to give a number of examples that are very similar to the two examples in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah cites a saw and the plow, the blade of the plow. Uchla de katsre, some instrument used by the launderer. It's like a sieve, it's like a sift. Rashi tries to describe it. Rashi has a couple of explanations in terms of how exactly the launderer would use it. Whatever the case is, it's something very valuable used by the launderer. By the way, the launderer in the Gemara in Aramaic is called a katsre. And I've said this a number of times. Do you know why he's called a katsre? Because he's mekatser. He shortens the clothing, meaning you give the clothing to a launderer, and it comes back, it's not exactly the same size. So he shrinks the clothing. That's why in Aramaic, the launderer is called the katsre. Either way, this particular tool and instrument used by the katsre, very valuable. He wouldn't use it for anything else. It is therefore muksa machmas chisar and kis. Kiyasa shemachresh adamiya. The Gemara continues. Amar Abaye. Three more examples. Charva dushkafe. The knife used by the shoemaker. Visakina di eshkafta. Or a knife used by the butcher. Or chatzina denagre. Or a plane used by the carpenter. So kiyasa shemachresh adamiya. Again, all these things are very expensive. All these things are not used for anything else. Therefore, it is moksa machmas chisar and kis. Therefore, it cannot be moved on Shabbos at all. Tana Rabbanan, and now the Gemara quotes a braisa. Now, we are going to get a little bit of a history lesson over here in terms of moksa. Moksa is a gzera de Rabbanan. We all understand. Meaning that the Torah does not prohibit the moving of any item. The Torah prohibits malachas on Shabbos, but a hammer, from the Torah standpoint, you want to move the hammer, that's fine. That's no problem whatsoever. It's a chachamim who made a gzera, and they made the decree of muksa. So now what we're going to get is a little bit of a history lesson when the gzera of muksa was made, and as we're about to learn, the original gzera of muksa was much harsher than when we know it now. What we see now, there are a lot of kulas, a tremendous number of leniencies when it comes to muksa. You're allowed to move a hammer to crack a nut. Okay, as we have learned in yesterday's daf, as we reviewed today. Okay, that's a kula. That's obviously a leniency. We're about to learn that the original presentation of muksa, no such kulas existed. Okay, it was really harsh. Why? So there was a laxity of Shabbos observance. Now, when are we going to be talking about? So we're going to be talking about during the period of Nehemiah. Nehemiah is the beginning of Bayit Sheni, the beginning of the Second Temple period. The Jews came back from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. The mass movement from outside of Israel to Israel did not start off strong. People were comfortable in Bavel. People liked Bavel. People lived in Bavel. In fact, during the duration of the entire Bayit Sheni, there was still a Jewish community in Bavel. We know this primarily because after the destruction of the Second Temple, a lot of Jews just simply went back to Bavel. There were communities, thriving communities in Bavel. So anyway, so the people who went to Eretz Yisrael were not great in number. Additionally, they weren't that particularly religious. Some of the issues that Ezra and Nehemiah had to deal with when going back to Israel was intermarriage. Not a lot has changed in the last 2,000 years. But intermarriage, the Jews that did decide to go back to Eretz Yisrael, so they came back with non-Jewish wives. And Ezra and Nehemiah, they had to try to convince the people, no, that's not right. You can't come back to Israel with non-Jewish wives. Right? Okay, again, not much has changed in the last 2,000 years. It's rather amazing. So anyway, Bereshona Yo'omim, Shlosha Kelim Nitalim B'Shabbat. So what the Gemara now is going to share with us is, this was the original gzera of muksa, whereby they allowed only the movement of three kelim. Meaning, it's from a totally different perspective. It's not, here's what you can't move, it's here's what you can move. Meaning, three kelim and that's it. Now, I'm not really sure, in other words, bowls, dishes, plates, forks, knives, spoons. I'm guessing, I'm going on a little bit of a limb, I don't think those were included in the original Gzeirah of Moksa, but again, let's just read the Gemara inside, word by word, and you get the sense that it's not a question of what you cannot move, it's a question of, here's what will allow you to move. Kelim Nitalim B'Shabbos, I'm sorry, Shlosha Kelim Nitalim B'Shabbos, there are three Kelim that you're allowed to move on Shabbos. Miksosha Dveila, will allow you to move the knife to cut the Dveila, that's the fig cake. Vizuama Listarim Shal Kedera, and a ladle that's used in order to take off the froth off the soup. V'sakin ketana sha'agabe shochan, and a small knife that's left on the table. Okay? In other words, when Nehemiah made the original Gzeirah of Moksa, he basically said, you can't move anything. In other words, that's our starting point. Don't move anything. And here's what I'll allow you to move, just these three kelim, and that's it. Nothing else. V'chazru v'hitiru. V'chazru v'hitiru. And then there was a relaxation of the Gzeirah. They pulled back on the Gzeirah, meaning that the original Gzeirah was to counteract the amount of Chil Shabbos that was going on. And then we pulled back. And it sounds in the Braisa, if you read it carefully, that they pulled back twice, meaning they relaxed and they relaxed. Until you got to the point where you're allowed to move all Kalim, except for Master Agadol V'Yasa Shemachareisha. And now, you understand, you hear what, if you're listening carefully, what you're hearing is our Mishnah. Meaning the Mishnah that we started off this year with today was Rabbi Yossi Omer Kol HaKel Nitalim Chutz Min HaMaster Agadol V'Yasa Shemachareisha. That's the final stage of Muktza. Meaning the Gzeirah D'Rabbanan as it looks like today. You're allowed to move all kelim. So in other words, the original Gzeirah was you're allowed to move no kelim except for these three. Relaxation, until you got to the point where our Mishnah says you're allowed to move all kelim except for these two. Okay, so it's almost like the polar opposite of what the original Gzeirah was. Now, as to the language of the Braisa, Chazru v'itiru, Mahitiru, I'm sorry, the other way around. Mahitiru v'chazru v'itiru v'chazru, I'm sorry. Ma'itir v'chazr v'itiru v'chazr v'itiru. So, what exactly was that double stage of we relaxed? Amar Abaye. So here we begin. Hitiru davar shemalach lehetel tzarch gufo v'chazr v'itiru davar shemalach lehetel tzarch makamo. So the way Abaye explains it, it goes like this: that the first relaxation is a kelim which are malach leheter. Now that means it's a kli which its general use is something which is permitted on Shabbos. Okay? A spoon. A fork. Kalim that a chair. Kalim where its general use is permitted on Shabbos. So you're allowed to move the Tzarech Gufo. Meaning, if it serves you on Shabbos in a way which is mutter on Shabbos, that's what we call Tzarech Gufo. That was allowed to move. That was stage number one. Chazer v'itir davar shemalachto leheter letzarech makamo. Stage two is, I'm allowed to move it, Litzarech Mekomo, which means that if I need the space, meaning right now, this item is occupying a space which I need. So I want to move it because I need the space. That's what's called Tzarech Mekomo. Abaye says that's relaxation number two. And then the final stage, by the way, it's three. I said two earlier. It's three relaxations. And the final relaxation was where if it's a kli shemalachto le'iser, a kli that's normally used for iser, for like a hammer, so we're allowed to move it, letzorach gufo, but not letzorach makomo. Ve'adayim b'yado achas, hem b'shtei yadav lo. And that's only small items, not large items. Ha'chamru kol hakelim nitalim b'shabbos ve'afilu b'shtei yadayim. Until we got to the point where, and now this is our Mishnah which is describing the current state of Muktza, that you're allowed to move a kli on Shabbos, even if it requires two hands, meaning even if it's a larger item. Okay. Conclusion, according to Abaye, is, right, if you're following now the trend, that according to Abaye, if it's a kli shemalachto leheter, you're allowed to move it on Shabbos, letzarech makom, letzarech gufo. If it's a kli shemalachto leiser, you're allowed to move letzarech makom, but you're not allowed to move, sorry, you're allowed to move letzarech gufo, but you're not allowed to move letzarech makom. And even if it's a larger item, even if it's an item that needs to be carried with two hands, you're allowed to move it on Shabbos. This is the conclusion according to Abaye. That's the step-by-step relaxation of the original Gzera of Nehemiah. Amalei Rava Amechti, Hitiru Kitani. So Rava does not like Abaye's interpretation because look, the Braisa says Hitiru. They permitted it. Malet Tzarech Gufa, Malet Tzarech Mekomo. Now, is there a real difference between Tzarech Gufa and Tzarech Mekomo? Meaning, obviously, there's a difference in terms of what it means. Tzarech Gufa means I'm using the item. Tzarech Mekomo means I need the space right now that the item is occupying. But in terms of Shabbos and Muksa's concern, look, right now I need it. I need it either because I need the item itself for permissible activity on Shabbos, or I need the space. Rava says, in terms of the relaxation of Muksa, there's no difference between Tzarech Gufo and Tzarech Mekomo. If they're going to be Matir Tzarech Gufo, they're also going to be Matir Tzarech Mekomo as well. Elama, Rava, so Rava will say, no, this is how it went. Hitir Davisham Lachal Laheter. The first relaxation of the original Gzer of Nehemiah is that they were Matir Davisham Lachal Laheter, items which are generally used for Heter, Be'elet Tzarech Gufo, Be'elet Tzarech Mekomo. And that first Heter included, it encompassed all movement, meaning Tzarech Gufo and Tzarech Mekomo. V'chaz v'etiru mecham letzel. And then there was another relaxation, and that is mecham letzel. Now, what's mecham letzel? It means like this. I have right now a spoon that's sitting out in the hot sun. Okay? And it's a spoon, meaning it's a klisha malach v'leheter. And right now, I'm a little bit worried that if it's left out there on Shabbos, under the hot sun, the spoon's going to melt, it's going to warp. I want to move it into the house, mechama letzel, from the sun to the shade. So now, do I need a tzarech gufo? No, I don't need the spoon right now. Do I need tzarech mekomo? No, I don't need that area outside right now. The only reason why I want to move it is mechama letzel. I want to move it from the sun to the shade. That's the second heter, according to Rava, that you're allowed to take a klisha malach to laheter and move it mechama letzel. What's the third step? And the third relaxation is that if it's a klisha malach l'iser, like a hammer, so I can move it. But I can only move it either l'tzarech gufo l'tzarech mekomo. Mecham l'tzel lo, but I cannot move it mecham l'tzel. So if my hammer's out in the hot sun and the sun's beating down on the hammer and I'm afraid that the hammer's going to get warped or damaged, so then I cannot move the hammer from the sun to the shade. Because that heter of mechama letzel is only for klisha machtel heter, but not for klisha machtel iser. That's an excellent question. Just wait. Okay, that's an excellent question. And still, all being said, that's only regarding smaller kelim. Ad she'amru kol ha'kelim l'talim b'shabbos ve'afilu b'shnei b'nei adam. And then along comes the final stage of Heter, if you will, our Mishnah, and our Mishnah basically speaks to the idea of, it doesn't matter the size of the item, if it's an item that's held by one hand, or even if it's an item that's held by two hands, meaning it's a larger item, there's still permission to move it. Move what where? Again, you go back to whatever it is. In other words, first establish whether it's a klisha malach l'heter or it's a klisha malach l'iser. If it's a klisha malach l'heter, according to Rava, you're allowed to move it. L'tzarech gufo, l'tzarech mekomo, and mecham l'tzel. If it's a klisha malach l'iser, so then I can only move it, l'tzarech gufo, l'tzarech mekomo, but not mecham l'tzel. Okay? I know that's a lot. It's a lot of information. And that's Rava's understanding. By the way, that is the accepted halacha, Rava's understanding. But that is where we started from, meaning by Rabbi Nehemiah. I'm sorry, by Nehemiah, meaning the Navi, of Ezra Nehemiah fame, to where we are today. In terms of the history, like, we don't know how long it took for all these stages to transpire. Meaning, Nehemiah, as I pointed out, is the beginning of Bais Sheni. That's the beginning of the Second Temple. Then there's only a short 420 years from then to the end of Bais Sheni, and then Tanaim, which we're quoting over here, some of them came even afterwards. So it's a big window in terms of trying to fill in exactly when the relaxation came in for all these Heterim. We're not particularly sure, but we have now at least some basic idea of the genesis of Moksa. Eisve Abaye. So now Abaye is going to challenge Rava because it comes out that according to Rava, we're extraordinarily lenient, meaning the relaxation of Moksa really allows us to do a lot of movement. A klisha malach laheter, I can move for basically any reason. Tzarach gufa, tzarach mekama, or mecham otzel. Klisha malach laiser, I still can move. Either tzarach gufa, tzarach mekama. So Abaye challenges Rava based on a Mishnah. Now, what you're going to be hearing over these next couple days, as we go through the 17th parak of Shabbos, you're going to be hearing the same Mishnayos again and again. Meaning that, and it's very interesting because sometimes we give one type of answer, sometimes we give another answer. In other words, we're not super consistent, the Gemara is not super consistent in terms of how we always respond to these Mishnayos, but you're going to get to hear these Mishnayos again and again. Maducha im yesh basho metalten osa v'im la v'im metalten osa. Should sound familiar, we did this Mishnah yesterday. The mortar. The mortar and pestle, you're allowed to move the mortar, but only if there's garlic inside the mortar. But if there's no garlic inside the mortar, you're not allowed to move it. Not allowed to move a mortar. Now, a mortar is a klisha malachto le'isser, meaning it's used for grinding. Grinding is usser. So it's a klisha malachto le'isser. So you're not allowed to move it. Why aren't you allowed to move it? Meaning, according to you, Rava, you're allowed to move it, sarach gufo and sarach makomo. So, he gives a very simple answer. Yeah, you're not allowed to move it. You know why? Because you're not allowed to move it from the sun to the shade. Meaning, because it's a klisha machto le'isser, I'm limited. I cannot move it mecham le'tzel. Eitz for the Gemara challenges again. V'shavim shim katzav alav basar. Shasal le'tautalo. Once you cut meat on it, so you cannot move it. Meaning, after you cut the meat on it. So, hachanami mecham le'tzel. And again, the Gemara's answer is very simple. You're not allowed to move it from the sun to the shade because it's a klisha machto le'isser. So, therefore, I cannot move it mecham le'tzel. Amar Rabbi Chanina b'mechananya ben chachilai nishnez mishnah zu. This Mishnah over here means Braisa, meaning what we quoted above, Rishon Hayu Omrim. If you want to be even more accurate, it's the Tosefta, but I only know that because I see the side of the Gemara. Nishnez mishnah zu. It was during the time period of Nehemiah ben Chachilai, the beginning of the Second Temple, where we learned this Mishnah, Dichsiv, and now you can open up a Tanakh. Bayamim Ahim. Nehemiah is describing what he saw on Shabbos, and what he saw on Shabbos was basically Chil Shabbos. People were pounding their olives on Shabbos, and they were out in the field, and they were working out in the field, and they were bringing bundles in from the field. In other words, basic Chil Shabbos was taking place. So what Nehemiah had to do is he tried to convince the people, enough with the Chil Shabbos. And one of the ways that he did it is through Gzera, the Gzera of Moksa. And the original Gzera of Moksa, as we learned just a couple minutes ago, is that you're not allowed to move any kalim with only the exception of three. That was the original Gzera of Nehemiah, and the Gemara here quotes the Pesukim in Nehemiah, where basically we see it was pretty rough. It was the what he had to try to stop. Amar Rabbi Elazar, the Gemara quotes now a statement by Rebbe Elazar. Kanim Machlos Gluster Amaducha. There are four Mishnayos. We're going to learn all four Mishnayos. The Gemara just simply gives us one word to describe each Mishnah. The Mishnah of Kanim, the Mishnah of Machlos, the Mishnah of Glustra, and the Mishnah of Maducha. Kulam Kodam Hataras Kalim Nishnu. So they were all taught before Hataras Kalim, meaning now we know, we're more informed. We know that the Muksa came in stages. The first stage was the most harsh, and then heter, until you get to where we are right now. That is the stages of Muksa. So what Rebbe Elazar wants to theorize is that there are four Mishnayos that I could point to, and I can tell you that those Mishnayos were all taught before the final heter of what we are right now. So in other words, they're antiquated Mishnayos, if you will, archaic Mishnayos that describe the time period that no longer exists. Okay. It is a little bit strange that you have Mishnayos, which are authored, 200 years after the destruction of the Chorban, where by that point in time, there certainly was the final stage of Muksa, where we are right now. And meanwhile, they represent what historically once was, but no longer applies. But I don't know if that question really bothers me so much, meaning because Mishnayos were old teachings, old Tosha Baal Peh, that people had with them and just passed on from generation to generation. So, but anyway, four Mishnayos. And they are the following. Number one, Mishnah number one. Ankanim did not. Lo sidur akanim v'lo nitala sam doches ha-shabbos. Neither the placement of the rods nor the removal of the rods can override Shabbos. Okay. Shulchan in the Beis HaMikdash, right, was in the Heichal, was actually in the Beis HaMikdash itself, in the edifice itself. And on the Shulchan was placed 12 loaves of bread. 12 loaves of bread were baked on Erev Shabbos. And on Shabbos, you took out last week's bread, which was sitting there for an entire week, and you replaced it with the new loaves of bread. The old loaves of bread that are taken off, that lechem, that's a lechem upon him, that was eaten by the Kohanim, divided amongst last week's Mishmar and this coming week's Mishmar. Six for last week's Mishmar, six for this coming week's Mishmar. Okay, good. Now, the way it worked is that the lechem upon him were stacked six and six. Six, or one on top of the other on one column, six one on top of the other on the other column, and that's how they were placed on top of the Shulchan. Now, to stack six one on top of the other, that's a neat trick, especially when it's talking about bread. So what they had is they had a shelving system, where basically you had two big pillars coming up on the side of the Shulchan, and you had rods in between the two pillars that basically looked like a bakery, and so that each loaf went on top of the rods, three rods, the loaf went on top of the rods, so now you have the loaf sitting on not the bread below it, but actually on the rods. What this Mishnah here is describing is that on Shabbos itself, which is, by the way, when we'd be removing the loaves of bread, so you cannot take the rods out, you cannot replace the rods on Shabbos. Now the rods are a klisha malachto leheter, meaning there's no Isser in these rods. These rods serve as shelving for the bread. So it's a Kalisha Malachta Laheter, and the Mishnah here describes that you can't move them on Shabbos. So what's the issue? There's really only one issue, and that's the issue of Muksa. And we're talking here about Muksa Kalisha Malachta Laheter, and you can't move it on Shabbos. So what Rabbi Elazar now is theorizing, he's postulating, is that this Mishnah over here is describing earlier days when the relaxation of Muksa did not totally transpire, where we were at an earlier stage of Muksa where we were more Machmer.
Muksa is rabbinic, how does it apply in the Beit HaMikdash?
So that's Tosfos's question. Tosfos is bothered by your very question. Second to last Tosfos on the Amud. Af agav dein shvus b'mikdash. Right, you see? Tosfos says, no, normally we don't have Gzera Durabban in the Beis HaMikdash. Kamashvus and Ashkecham b'mikdash agazru pamim l'tzaruch kihacha. Okay, like every rule, there's exceptions to every rule. Tosfos says, same here. This is an exception to the rule. B'kanim ha-maklus l'fisha y'machalas l'shabas. Because look, we know that the whole reason why Hanan and Nehemiah made the Isser of Muksa is because there was a widespread Chilul Shabbos. So therefore, this was a ban to try to stop the Chilul Shabbos. And the ban applied even the Beis HaMikdash as well. So says Tosfos. But your question is very valid. Two. Huh? This is all during the second Beis HaMikdash. Two. Makalos. The Mishnah of Makalos did not Makalos. Dakin Chalakin. I'm sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
They had the Shulchan during the second
dynasty? Yeah. Yeah, the only thing they didn't have is the Aro.
It was the same Shulchan that they had at the name of the
day. I don't know. That's a reasonable question. I don't know. Makalos did not. We learned in another Mishnah. Here's our second Mishnah. Makalos dakin chalakin ayishama manichan aktef of aktef chavero v'tola u'mafshit. This Mishnah Psachim is describing how we would flay the carbon Pesach. So what we would do, generally speaking, for flaying purposes, they had hooks in the Beis HaMikdash where you would hang the animal on the hook and you would flay. Skin the animal. However, this Mishnah over here is describing the Karban Pesach. Remember, millions of people, we described this in Pesachim, millions of people in the Beis HaMikdash, and everybody had to basically take care of their own Karban Pesach. So what they would do is they would basically have rods. And the rods then were I placed one side of the rod on my shoulder. You placed your side of the rod on your shoulder. We would hang the animal from the rod, and then we would flay the animal while it was hanging from the rod that was hanging off our shoulder. This Mishnah says, Rebbe Lazar, Amar Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Lazar Omer. Okay, either way, Arba Asar Shechalios B'Shabbos. Now, what is the 14th day of Nisan falls out on Shabbos? Now, as we know, we have every right, not only a right, an obligation to shech the carbon Pesach on Shabbos because it's the 14th day of Nisan. Meiniach yado akatev chaver v'yad chaver aktefa v'tolam afshit. And this Mishnah goes on to describe. So here's what we do: we can't carry the sticks, so I'll put my hand on your shoulder. You put your hand on my shoulder. So basically, now we've created a human rod through two arms. And now we'll have the animal hanging off our arms, and then we'll do a half shake while the animal is hanging off our arms, but we cannot use the sticks. So once again, ask the question, why can't I use the sticks? And the answer is, moksa. Okay, but this is what, however you want to call it. Moksa machmas, moksa klisha machla laheter, maybe even call it klisha machla laister. But in other words, but it's sarach gufo. So why can't I move it? So once again, this is what Rebbe Lazar is theorizing, that this Mishnah here was taught prior to the full heter of Muksa. Meaning we're the earlier stage of Muksa. The third Mishnah is Glustra did not. Nagashesh Barosho Glustra, Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Shom Tomina Pesach Zeva told the Chaver Bishabis, Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Hareka Chola Kelmetata Bechatzir. The machlokes between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Tarfon, but basically the Mishnah says that if I have a bolt in the door, now the bolts in the door, what they would do to lock the door is that after closing the door, they would put a bolt. This bolt was actually placed in the threshold of the door, and it stopped the door from swinging back and forth. If you could think of those like old kitchen doors that swing back and forth, and basically it had a hole in the ground and you put the bolt on the ground in order to stop it from swinging. So that's basically what we're describing over here. If it's got a knot at the end, which means that this bolt can also double as a pounder, or right, basically something that would pound. So Rabbi Yoshua would say, so I can move it from this doorway, and I could take it and I can move it to another doorway. Now, according to Rabbi Yoshua, it's a little bit strange because the words that he uses, shomta. Shomto means I could drag it from one door to another, but I can't pick it up and move it like I'd move any other kli. Now, why dragging? Why not just simply move it? Meaning I'm using it for the purpose of locking the door. That's a klisha malachto leheter. So why can't I move it? So once again, this is now the third Mishnah where Rebbe Lazar is theorizing this Mishnah was taught at an earlier stage of Muksa. And finally, the Mishnah of Meducha, Hadamaran. Well, we've already heard that Mishnah a number of times. That's the Mishnah that says that if the mortar has garlic inside of it, then you're allowed to move it. But if it doesn't have garlic inside of it, you're not allowed to move it. Okay, so these are four Mishnayos that come out throughout Shas, two of them in Pesachim, two of them in Shabbos, four Mishnayos that come up in Shas, where you're not allowed to move Muksa, why not? So Rav Elazar said, you're not allowed to move Kalim, certain Kalim, why not? So what Rav Elazar is saying is that these are antiquated Mishnayos that describe the time period where Muksa was not as makel as it is today. Good. Amma Rabba. So Rabba says, you don't have to say all that. Meaning, right, it's a great theory, it's a great hypothesis, but you don't have to say all that. Could be that these Mishnayos are describing Muksa as it is presently practiced, where we are makel. And I could still explain all these Mishnayos, even in today's quote-unquote modern day and age, meaning even where Muksa is as makel as it is today. Now,
this Mishnah are written way after Beit HaMikdash, so how could
It's a very good question. Another good question. So I suggested earlier that maybe what these Mishnayos are just simply traditions that were passed down from one generation to the next. But you're right, for Rav Yehuda Anasi to incorporate it into the corpus of Mishnayos, you're right, it is strange. And the Gemara, and so this is what Rabbi is saying, no. In other words, they're all reflecting today's day and age. Now let's go through it step by step. Mishnah number one, the Mishnah of the shelves for the lechem apanim. So taima my mishum. I'm sorry, kanim taima my mishum e afushe by porta lo me'afish. Look, the whole reason why I put the shelving in there is because I want air to circulate between the loaves of bread. So if I don't put in the shelving on Shabbos and I stack the breads one on top of the other, so that's going to be for how long? Until the end of Shabbos. Meaning one Shabbos comes to an end, so then we'll take the bread off, I'll make the shelving, I'll put the bread back on top of it. So you're talking about 12 hours, 8 hours, whatever the case is. You're talking about a small amount of time. Because it can wait till after Shabbos before I insert the shelving, let it wait until after Shabbos. Okay. Two. Maklos Efshar Kareb Elazar. And now the sticks used on Pesach, when Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, why do we not use the sticks? So the answer could be very simple. Not because it's reflecting an earlier time of Muksa, but rather because, look, there's another way to do it. Meaning I can create sticks, human sticks, meaning I'll put my arm on your shoulder, you put your arm on my shoulder, and because we could do it that way, and because we don't have to use the sticks, let's avoid it. Three. Now, as far as moving the bolts from one house to another house, it could be that the issue over there is not muksa. The issue over there is another issue altogether. The issue is that the chatzir in question, it does not have an eruv. Rabbi Yeshua sever tocha pesach kilefnim dami, the kemetalta mana debatim bechatzir. Now, this does require a lot of background information in order for you to fully appreciate it. But I see the time right now. I'm not going to give all the background information. Just for our purposes, know that if it's a chatzar without an eruv, I cannot move items from one house to another house. That's gzeira derabanan. And what about this bolt which is in the doorway? Rav Yeshua is of the opinion that in the doorway is considered in the house. So therefore, I cannot move a bolt from one house to another. Dragging it from one house to another for whatever reason is okay, but to pick it up and to move it from one house to another, that's not a lot to do. Rabbi Tarfon, just wait. Rabbi Tarfon sever tocha pesach kila chutzdami. Rabbi Tarfon says no. The doorway is considered like the chatzir, and therefore umana de chatzir bechatzir kametaltel. And all I'm doing is moving an item that was already found itself in the chatzir going into Shabbos. Even though this chatzar doesn't have an eruv, that only prohibits me from carrying from the house to the chatzar. But to move items in the chatzar from one area of the chatzar to another, that's totally permissible. That's the opinion of Rabbi Tarfon, and that's why it would be okay. And finally, meducha, Reb Nechemihi. And as far as the Mishnah meducha, look, we've already given a number of answers of the Mishnah meducha. We said this morning, the Mishnah meducha could be Michama Letzel. Or we said yesterday's daf, the Mishnah Meducha is going like Rabbi Nechemiah. So now the Gemara says, we could just simply say that the Mishnah Meducha, that I'm not allowed to move the mortar on Shabbos. Why not? Because it's held like Rabbi Nechemiah. Rabbi Nechemiah is of the opinion that I'm not allowed to move things on Shabbos. Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, what the Mishnah is trying to explain is that the explanation of that Mishnah is not a Muksa explanation at all. Meaning that's just an Erev. We're leaving the world of Muksa, and it has to do with the issue of Erev. Okay, we start now the next Mishnah. We're on Kuf Chav Dalet Amud Aleph. Kol HaKelim Mitaron Letzorech V'Shelo Letzorech. You're allowed to move Kelim on Shabbos, whether it's for a need, or whether Shelo Letzorech, whether it's no need. Obviously, that needs explanation. That's forthcoming in the Gemara. Rabbi Nechemiah Omer, Eini Talim, El Letzarech. And Rabbi Nechemiah says, no, you're only allowed to move it, Letzarech. Okay, that is a very vague Mishnah. What we certainly get out of the Mishnah is there's a debate between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Nechemiah. The Tanakhama is more lax in terms of what you're allowed to move, and Rabbi Nechemiah is more strict. But short of that, The Mishnah really does not give us a lot of information in terms of specifics, and here we go. Well, what you're going to see after we finish today's daf, which we won't, but what you're going to see is that Rava's interpretation of this Mishnah is going to be perfectly consistent with Rava's interpretation of the previous Mishnah. In other words, Rava, which is the accepted halacha, is going to be consistent yesterday's daf and today's daf. My letzarech, o my shalom letzarech. So here we go now, pshat number one. So Amar Rava. Now, first of all, it's not Rava. It's Rabba. And number two, it could be that it's not even Rabba. If you look at the side of the Gemara, the Rift notes, or the Rush notes, Amar Abaye. Now, I'm guessing that part of the reason, and it's not Rabba, it's Abaye. Now, one of the reasons why it's the Rift and the Rush do that is because the position which we're about to experience right over here, Abaye, is going to be perfectly consistent with the position of Abaye that we saw in yesterday's daf, which we happen to have done today, which makes it even better. So in other words, you already heard earlier this morning the position of Abaye, and now we have Abaye or Rava. Either way, it's not Rava. That's the important point. Interpretation of our Mishnah. So letzarech davar shemalachta leheter, letzarech davar shemalachta leheter, letzarech gufo shelo letzarech, I'm sorry. Now, first of all, what's our Mishnah even talking about? Meaning, what kind of kli is our Mishnah talking about? It's talking about a kli shemalach talahatar. A kli whose general purpose is things which are mutar on Shabbos. Forks, knives, spoons. Letzarech gufo, shelo letzarech davar shemalach talahatar letzarech mekamo. In other words, you're allowed to move tzarech gufo. So in other words, if I need a spoon because I need to eat on Shabbos, that's fine. If I right now want to make a clearing of this area, and I want to move the spoon so I can use this area, no, that you cannot do. So letzarech davar shemalach talahatar letzarech mekamo. I apologize. Abaye says that if it's even letzarech mekamo, that you're allowed to move as well. The davar shemalach talahatar. But if it's a davar shemalach talahatar, like the hammer, letzarech gufo li, letzarech mekamo lo, I'm allowed to move it, letzarech gufo, but I'm not allowed to move it, letzarech mekamo. Fine. So according to Abaye, the hammer, if I need the hammer to crack the nut, that's okay. If I need to move the hammer because I need this area right now, that's not acceptable. That you cannot do. The azar and nechemi lameimar, the afil davar shemalach talahatar, letzarech gufo li, letzarech mekamo lo. And Rav Nechemia is being more machmir. And how? So Abaye explains specifically by if it's a kli shemalach to le'iser, if I want to use it legufo to take the hammer and crack the nut, that you're allowed to do. Sorry. A kli shemalach to leheter, I apologize. A kli shemalach to leheter, so if it's legufo, that's fine. If I want to take the spoon in order to eat, that's fine. But if I want to move the spoon because I need this here right now, Rav Nechemia says that you're not allowed to do. Okay. That is our first interpretation of the Mishnah. And that's all given to us by either Rava or Abaye. Okay? Amar le Rava. So Rava says, no, letzarech mekamo, shelo letzarech karisle. So that's very strange. Meaning, what a strange interpretation of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says letzarech. And you're telling me that letzarech mekamo is not considered tzarech? I need the space right now. That's tzarech. So ela amar Rava, letzarech davar shemalach talahatar, bein letzarech gufo, bein letzarech mekamo. So when it says that tzarech, it means a kli shemalach talahatar. Kli shemalach talahatar, I'm allowed to move whether I need it or whether I need the space. Tzarech gufo, tzarech mekamo. That's fine. Shelo letzarech afilu mechama letzel. And what does letzarech means? Meaning right now, I don't need it, but it's out in the sun. And I'm afraid that if it stays out in the sun, it's going to warp, it's going to get damaged. So if it's a kli shemalach talahatar, so I can move it from the sun to the shade. Okay. Now, all this should sound familiar because Rava said that on Kuchav Gimel Amud Beis. But now what we're doing is we're trying to explain our Mishnah of Kol HaKelim, and Rava's giving an explanation consistent with the explanation that he gave on yesterday's daf. V'davar shemalach to le'iser, now if it's a hammer or any kli shemalach to le'iser, letzarech gufo letzarech mekamo in, mechama letzel lo, if it's tzarech gufo tzarech mekamo, that would be fine. So the hammer, either I need to crack the nut or the hammer's sitting right now on the table and I need to use the area so I can move the hammer, that's fine. But mechamel itself, but if the hammer's out in the sun and I do not want the hammer to warp in the sun, I cannot move the hammer from the sun to the shade. Reb Nechemel Amemar, sorry, also Reb Nechemel Amemar, V'afilo Davish Hamlach LaHeter, Letzarech Kufa, Letzarech Mekamo in Mechama Letzel Lo. And Reb Nechemel, who's being more machmir, even if it's a klisha Malach LaHeter, I cannot move it from the sun to the shade. Okay. That is Rav's interpretation of our brayso. Yosef Rav Safa Rav Acha Bar Huna Rav Huna Bar Rabbi Chanina. The Yosef the Kamal Rabba Aliba the Rabbi Nechemya. So now let's start with you, Rabba. According to you, Hani Kaaros Heichem Metat Alinan. Now, how is it working? You finished your meal on Shabbos, okay? Plates, bowls, spoons, all on the table. You're going to clear the table according to Rabbi Nechemya. Now, you can't. Meaning, let's think about it. It's a klisha malachta laheter, and Rav's interpretation of the Mishnah is that by a klisha malachta laheter, according to Rabbi Nechemya, the only way you can move it is letzarech gufo. But over here, the meal's over. There's no longer tzarech gufo. So how are you clearing the table after the meal on Shabbos? So amaluhu Rav Safra, mi didavei graf shari'i. So he says, oh, that? Well, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, and as we're repeating right now, you know that if you have waste matter in the house, right? The baby left waste matter in the house. You're allowed to pick up the waste matter and take it out of the house, meaning that there's a heter of graf shel re'i. So here, plates and dishes left on the table after the meal categorically falls under the same category as graf shel re'i. So much like you're allowed to take waste out of the house, so too, you're allowed to clear the table as well. So Amalei Abai LaRav LaMar Liba De Rabbi Nechemya Hanikar Zeich Metaltalin Lahu. So the Gemara goes over pretty much the same discussion. So Amalei Rav Safar Chavin Tergum Ami Dedava Graf Shari'i. And again, the answer is Graf Shari'i. Eisve Abaye LaRava. Abaye challenges Rava. Meducha Im Yesh Bashum Metaltalin Osav Im Lavi Metaltalin Osav. Okay, we heard this mission already a number of times. The mortar, which is a klisha malachta laheter, if it has garlic, you can move it. But that means, of course, that if it has no garlic, so you're not allowed to move it. So, but once again, the answer is very simple. Although I say the answer is very simple, you've heard us give so many different answers to this Mishnah, but right now, the answer that best fits is, yeah, you can't move it from the sun to the shade. You're not allowed to move a klisha malachta laheter mecham letzel. Eisvei, another Mishnah which we've gone over already a number of times. V'shamshim kitzav alav basar shasal lataltalo. If I've cut meat on the mortar, after cutting the meat, where I no longer need the mortar, I cannot move the mortar. So hachanami mecham letzel. And again, what we're going to say is that Mishnah is talking about I cannot move it from the sun to the shade. But what about a Mishnah in Beitza? The Mishnah says that I cannot take a pot and lean it against a piece of wood.
It's going to be a few more minutes. We're just going to wait for the buses. We'll update you when Davin is going to start.
Okay. Thank you, Shimmy. V'chein bedalas, and the same thing is true with the door. V'hab because to be yamtov davar shemalachto leheter. Now, wood on yantif. Now, we know on yantif you're allowed to make a fire. So, wood on yantif is the klisha malachto leheter. And yet the Mishnah says, I cannot move it on yantif. Ama davar shemalachto leheter bein l'tzarech gufa bein l'tzarech mekam aser. So that means that it's muksa and I cannot move it. So also my time came into b'shabbos davar shemalachta laheterhu gzer yontav atu shabbos. So the Gemara says, well, yes, it's true that you're allowed to move wood on yontav to make a fire, but remember though, yontav shabbos pretty much the same thing. And if I end up moving wood on yontav, I'm going to get super comfortable with the idea of moving wood, and I'll end up moving wood on shabbos as well. And so the gzera extends even to yontav. Now, Hedy, you can ask the question. This isn't this a gzera l'gzera, and so I guess you'll say it's all one large gzera. V'chi tema Shabbos gufe tishtare, da hadav shemach l'isner, l'tzorach gufo, l'tzorach mekam l'share. So the Gemara says, okay, but let's think about this. Shabbos. A piece of wood. So what is a piece of wood? So right now, what we're going to suggest is it's a kli shemachtel iser. And right now, what we're saying is it's a kli shemachtel iser, and I need the wood because I need to lean something on the wood. So why can't I move it? Aren't I allowed to move a kli shemachtel iser letzarch gufo or letzarch mekamo? So hani milehechadika toras kli alav. Now here the Gemara says something which is very fundamental in the world of muksa, which is that this entire discussion of moving things on Shabbos, and the first thing it's got to be is it's got to be a kli. It has to be a utensil. That's point number one. Then we can ask the question, is it a kli shemachtel leheter? Is it a kli shemachtel iser? But first and foremost, it's got to be a kli. Hecha deleka toras kli alav? Lo. But if it's not a kli, you cannot move it. Meaning this is muksa machmas gufo. Where something is not a kli, you cannot move it on Shabbos. A rock, a stone, a piece of wood. Meaning, it doesn't even get off the ground. The discussion of whether I can move it on Shabbos doesn't even begin because it's not a kli. Now, umi gazrinan v'hatanan. Now the Gemara says, do we really make a gzera of yontov atu Shabbos? What about the following? Mashulam peres derech haruba b'yom tov avalo b'Shabbos. The Mishnah in Beitza teaches us that you're allowed to move fruit. In other words, you left fruit on the rooftop and it's starting to rain. And so therefore, and you wanted to dry the fruit. So what you're allowed to do is you're allowed to take all this fruit on Yom Tov and you're allowed to move it through the skylight of the house into the house. But there's a Mishnah. You can do it on Yom Tov, but you can't do it on Shabbos. Now, what's the malacha over here? There really is no malacha being performed over here. It's just tircha yisera, it's extra work. But anyway, but you see that there's something you can do on Yom Tov, which you can't do on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, what do you see from here? That we don't always make a gzera of Yom Tov atu Shabbos. Umi lo gazrinan v'hatanan. But what about the following Mishnah? Ein ben Yom Tov l'Shabbos el ochel nefesh b'lavad. The Mishnah in the Megillah tells us that the only difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov is that on Yom Tov you can cook, but on Shabbos you can't cook. So you see that outside of cooking...
Shabbos will start at 8:10, so about 6 minutes. Okay. Shabbos will start at 8:10.
We're just going to go a couple more minutes.
Start going to your location.
So the only difference is Ochel Nefesh Bavad. So I'm Rav Yosef, Lokasha, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yoshua. So the Gemara makes a suggestion, well, maybe the difference between these two Mishnayos is the difference between Rav Lazar and Rav Yoshua. Ditanya. Because we learned in a braisa. Now this should sound familiar, because we did this just a short couple of days ago. Osav espanoshen aflo labor. I have an animal and its offspring that fall into a pit on Yom Tov. Rabbi Elazar omer malas arishon, amenasa shokhto, vishokhto, v'asheni osav parnas bimkomo. So first the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, which is that I can only take one of the animals out because it's a mother offspring, I'm only allowed to shech one of those animals. Because of the prohibition of Osa Vespino. So what am I going to do is I'm going to take out one and leave the other one in the pit. Bishul Shalom Yamos, and we'll feed it in the pit. In other words, we won't let it die, but you can't take it out on Yom Tov. Rabbi Yoshua Omer Malas Arishon Amnasa Shokhto, Ve'eno Shokhto, Umarim Malas Asheni, Ratzazeh Shokhe, Ratzazeh Shokhe. And Rabbi Yoshua disagrees, and Rabbi Yoshua says, I could take it out of the pit, and say, yeah, you know what? I don't want the first one. I'll take out the second one. And even though that's harama, meaning you were planning this all along, such subterfuge in halacha is okay. And what the Gemara now is proposing is, what do you see according to Rabbi Yoshua? That you're allowed to do this on Yom Tov, even though on Shabbos you, of course, would not be allowed to do it. So you see that Rabbi Yoshua allows you to do things on Yom Tov that you can't do on Shabbos. That would be the Mishnah in Beitza. As opposed to the Mishnah of Ein Bein, that would be the Mishnah, according to Rabbi Eliezer, that there is no difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov. I cannot do something on Yom Tov that I would not be allowed to do on Shabbos. The Gemara says, I'm not sure if that's a great comparison. Look, Rabbi Eliezer will be more machmir in the case of the animal in the pit, because I'll take one animal, I can leave the other animal inside and feed the animal in the pit. But as far as Rabbi Yeshua is concerned, over here, there is harama which is allowed, which we described earlier in the perek. One of the reasons why harama is allowed is because it's tsar balei chayim. I don't want to leave the other animal in the pit. But over here, there's no harama which is allowed, so therefore he wouldn't allow it over here as well. Did not Beis Shammai Omrim Amosin as a katan Vesalula Vesefatora Lurushusa Rabim Ovesilo Omrim Matirin? I'm sorry, Ovesilo Matirin. Maybe the difference between these two Mishnayos is the basic difference between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai operates that we don't have the principle of mitoch, which means that I cannot carry on Yontav anything. Because he doesn't have the principle of mitoch, and Beis Hillel holds of the principle of mitoch. So the Gemara says like this: Amen. Yes.
Because
David will
be getting 8 to 10.
Yeah. Got it. The Gemara says, Amen. Deshamas leil Beis Shammai hotza. Tiltu mishamas lehu. So wait a second. Beis Shammai prohibits hotza, but does that mean that Beis Shammai is going to be machmir, more machmir when it comes to tiltu? So the Gemara says, and let's end on this point, the tilto gufe lav misham hotza'a hi. Wait a second. Isn't the Isser of Muksa, the rabbinic Isser of Muksa, isn't it founded on the Isser of hotza'a? Like I said at the beginning of today's daf. Meaning here the Gemara is suggesting, if not outright saying, that the reason why the rabbis ban Muksa is to prevent people from carrying from one domain to another domain. So just like Beis Shammai is going to be more machmir when it comes to the malacha of hotza'a, so too he's going to be more machmir when it comes to the iser of muksa. Beis Hillel, who on Yontif is going to be more makel with hotza'a, he allows you to carry on Yontif, even items that are not food related, so he's going to be more makel on Yontif in terms of the iser of muksa. Okay, I know we did a lot today. Conclusion, however, which is a very straightforward conclusion. A klisha malachto leheter, right? I'm giving it to you like Rava, which is the halacha. A klisha malachto leheter, you're allowed to move it. Tzarch gufo, tzarch mekomo, and mecham alitzel. A klisha malachto leiser, like a hammer, you're allowed to move it on Shabbos. Tzarch gufo and tzarch mekomo, but not mecham alitzel. Okay, that's Rava's understanding of our Mishnah. That's the accepted halacha. We'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up on the top of the Amud Beis.